Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Chapter 92, Mizmor Tzadi Beis, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos is the only chapter of the seven that we recite each morning following services, following the davening, as the Shir Shal Yom, the Psalm of the Day, that actually has the day in its name. Others sort of make allusions to them, and we can sort of develop and delve into the depths as to why each one is said on those days. But the most obvious connector is the fact that the word Shabbos appears in the Koteret, the introduction to the Psalm, to Tzadi Beis. At the same time, the rest of the chapter does not exactly elicit obvious relationships and connections to Shabbos, and that's part of our analysis today and our work today. What's interesting to note as well at the outset is that as a reminder that we mentioned a couple of days ago, that starting with Perek Tzadi, number 90, the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is the author for the next 11 chapters. So starting with 90, going through, you can do the math, through 100, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that David HaMelech, King David, thought them appropriate, and through the Masorah had them, to include them in Sefer Tehillim. So it would be worthy also of an investigation to understand in Moshe Rabbeinu writing it, what Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing specifically to the table in his experience in the Midbar, let's say, and when he is authoring this text. Additionally, and also maybe perhaps to confuse it a little bit, there's a Medrash that's, that exists in Bereishis Rabbah, in the Midrashic literature on Bereishis, that tells us that in the aftermath of Cain killing Hevel, that Cain is doing tshuva, and Cain is essentially leaving the court of God, right? You know, in the period where it tells that the Torah tells us that anyone who kills Cain, so on and so forth, what their punishment will be, that essentially at that point the Medrash explains that Cain was in the basin of God, and that Cain had attempted tshuva, had worked to do tshuva, to gain repentance, and mechila from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, kapara, what he had done, and that in the afternoon he's leaving, and Adam Arishon, his father, says to him, so knew what happened at your trial, and he said, I did tshuva, and I was forgiven, to some degree I was forgiven, to which Adam HaRishon is amazed, mind-blowing reality, what is the power, so is the power of tshuva, I didn't even know. He immediately stands up, and he says, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. It's fascinating that's what he says, that's what he recites, but in fact that's what the Medrash tells us. So there's sort of a relationship, it seems, between the power of tshuva and Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. Now, perhaps, parenthetically, when does that trial take place? So there are midrashic literature that says that all these different types of things happen in and around Shabbos. We know in the other midrashic sources that tell us that the chait in Gan Eden it happens on Erev Shabbos too, and so that there's a relationship there between Shabbos and the chatoim. Maybe that's the connection. Maybe it's much deeper than that, perhaps. Also interesting to note, again, a lot of introduction today. In the Shabbos morning davening, separate from when we recite the entire chapter, in the Birkas Kriyat Shema, so we begin a statement after singing the beautiful Pizmon, the song of Kel Adon, we start a statement that says, La Shavat Mikol HaMasim, right, to Hashem who rested from all of his doings. And then on the seventh day, he went up and he sat on his chair. Oneh Karali Yom HaShabbos, right? It was a day of contentment, a day of enjoyment, of pleasure. This is the praise. Es Shevel Shiyom HaShvi Shevo Shavas Keil Mikol Malachto. This is the praise of God rested on this day. And then V'Yom HaShvi'i Mishabeach V'Yomir, the seventh day, then praises God and says, what does it say? Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos Tov Lehodos La'Adonai. Right? This is a song for the Shabbos day. It's good to thank Hashem. And then it goes on and tells us, therefore, we should all do X and Y and Z. So it's interesting to note that in the course of the liturgy itself, in the prayer text itself, we make a mention of this text, and sort of in some sort of a fashion, which is a very interesting image, the day itself, Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day, stands up, and the seventh day praises the day, and praises God, that this is the day of Shabbos. Okay, that's interesting to note. But let's understand what the Mizmor is all about. And there's perhaps a lot going in and going on internally to the text, which is crucial. And as we are wont to do in understanding this text, there is sort of a structure that's very crucial to our understanding of this Mizmor, as is the case with every Mizmor, in our ability to sort of view and feel the structure will allow us, as always, to understand and uncover greater depths in the chapter, and it will allow us to be able to focus appropriately. So leaving sentence one aside, I mean verse one, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Tov Lo Hodos La'Adonai L'Zamer L'Shimcha Elyon, leaving that one aside, because that is the introductory statement. The remainder of the chapter has 15 verses. And those 15 verses will set up a very interesting structure. You'll have 7 on one side, 7 on the other side, and 1 in the middle. So you'll have 2 through 8 and one as one grouping, and perhaps we'll have subgroupings within there. Verse 9 will stand alone, and then the remainder of the chapter will stand as sort of the parallel, in a certain sense, the similar structure to the first half. So you'll have what very often is called a chiasm. We'll have two parallel structures working in a certain direction, or parallelism is one way, with a mirror fulcrum center verse right down the middle, and that would be verse 9. So if you're marking them off, you would sort of bracket 2 through 8 as 1, and perhaps with subgroupings within. And then verse 9, which is a very small verse, V'atam Arom Leolam Hashem, that a four-word text, you remain exalted and above forever, right? As a turning point, as a fulcrum, a middle text. And then starting with Kinei Oivecha, verse 9, going to the end would be another section. So that's important, and you'll see why going on. Because we don't really quite understand what the meaning of the text is in relation to Shabbos, but perhaps by setting up a structure that way, we'll be able to understand more. Additionally, there are interesting hints that go on in the text as well. We have the notion that you have 15 verses that are broken up to two sets of 7 and a center verse. You have that that each half of the psalm, according to one of the commentaries, each half has exactly 52 words, which is reminiscent of 52 Shabbosos in the year. Perhaps that's possible, I don't know. That's interesting to note. At the same time, there's also a lot of terminology that flows from the two different sides. Just as an example, in verse 8 and then again in verse 10, you have the term Poalei Aven. You have Lahagid. The word Lahagid appears in the last verse, Lahagid Ki Yashar Hashem, right? To declare. And also we have right at the beginning, Lahagid Baboker Chasdecha, to declare in the morning your praise. Right, the praises of your kindness, of your goodness. So there's a lot of things that are going internal to the text, which allow for the parallelism of the structure that we're trying to establish. Okay, getting into the text now itself. So let's begin. Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. Right, it is the psalm of the day of Shabbos. Tov Lo Hodos Adonai L'Zamer L'Shimcha Elyon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down into further. This is suggested by one of our great teachers for Nachyomi, Rabbi Yitzhak Shalom. In one of his many, many terrific shiurim, he has a terrific shiur on this chapter, and he breaks down the first half, 2 through 8, into what you would call perhaps three smaller sections. And the first section of those is verses 2, 3, and 4. Tov lo dos adunah lezami l'shimcha ayon, lahagi baboke chasdecha, v'manaska balelos, alei esov le'inavel, alei higayon b'chinor. You have these three verses, and let's make sure, we quickly translate what they are, right? Tov lo hodos Adonai, it's good to thank Hashem and to sing the praises to your name, right? L'zam l'shimcha, l'shimcha meaning your name, right? L'hagid baboker chazdecha ve'amunascha balilos, right? To relate your kindness, or to declare your kindness in the mornings, literally in the morning or in the dawn, and ve'amunascha balilos, and the faith in you, right, in the night, or your faith in us, perhaps, in the nights. Interestingly, in there, we'll get to in a moment, some of the changing in terminology and phraseology that goes on. Alei asor, va'alei navel, alei higayon b'chinor. A very different text, but here he says, upon a ten-string instrument and lyre, with singing accompanied by a harp. So what do we have here? We have a very interesting three words. Tov lo hodos l'Hashem. It's good to praise God. It's true. Perhaps the word lahodos can be brought back to its root, is the word from vada. We have the notion of vidoy, generally speaking. Vidoy we sort of use in the negative always. We're admitting to something that we've done wrong. But essentially it's the statement of admitting. That's what thanking someone is. You admit that they had done something for you. You acknowledge. It's an acknowledgement. So tov lahodos is not simply just to thank or to thank you simply, but rather to admit, to acknowledge, and to recognize, to Hashem and all that Hashem has done, or what Hashem is to the universe and what Hashem is to the world. So tov lahodos l'Hashem. But also that relates very nicely to what we said earlier about Kain doing vidoy, Kain admitting to an avera. Maybe there's a relationship there. Lezamer l'shimcha elyon. So not simply just lahodos, but lezamer, right? It's a different tact. Interesting enough, not only is it tov lahodos l'Hashem, it's also tov lezamer l'shimcha elyon. Perhaps we can replace or put back in the word tov into the second half of the structure of the sentence. L'hagi baboke chazdecha ve'amunascha balelos, that to declare or to state or to relate, right, to tell over in the morning, right, literally in the morning, of your kindness and of your faith in the nights. So we have a shift from a singular morning to a plural nights. But if we simply understand it to be, as Rabbi Yechelon points out and others point out, we have the notion, v'hagisa bo yomam balayla, the notion we study Torah in the days and in the nights, basically is understood as always. So what we have in the text here is that at all times we should be simply standing up and declaring and stating and relating the chesed and emunas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do we do that? Right? How do we do that? So we do that with instruments. Right? And what does instrument music do? It adds an incredibly deep and powerful level to what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do. David HaMelech is well known as the great poet, but also as a musician, right? Alei asor, alei novel, alei higayon bechinor. The word higayon is a very difficult word. With the word harp, kinor is obvious as a harp. Perhaps higayon is to be understood not in the sense that we perhaps mean as higayon or hegyoni, as logic or as decent. But here, perhaps, it's understood, a vocalization, as is the case in other places. And here it means, perhaps, musical direction and a sense of singing that accompanies the playing. So you have music and you have singing, and that's the manner, right? Congregational singing, perhaps, is most illuminating and most inspiring. And here, that's what you have, but there's no other connection, no other way of understanding. There's no place else where that set of terminology comes together. So essentially what you have is, after first stating that this is a psalm for the day of Shabbos, we have this amazing, incredible power of singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's part one. And now in section two, which would be verses, we're going to say, Hey Vav and Zayin, or 5, 6, and 7, beginning with, Ki Simachtani Hashem Efa'alecha, and then ending with, Ishbar Le Yedach Sile V'Nezos. Here we're going to talk about an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the entire first half of the section of the text is going to be sort of building. We have singing to Hashem, awareness of Hashem, the destruction of those who are not with Hashem, and then this amazingly powerful verse of V'atam Arom Le'olam Hashem. So here, Ki Simachtani Hashem Befa'alecha B'maaseh Yadecha Aranein. for I am overjoyed, Hashem, b'fa'alecha, right, with your workings, right? I'm overwhelmed by them. B'fa'alecha, ma'aseh yodecha arani, with the actions of your hands, I will sing. We then move up to a higher sense of awareness of God. Ma'gadul ma'asecha, right? The word ma here does not mean what in the sense of a question, but it's sort of exclamatory. How great, how amazing are the actions of Hashem, right? Here again, the word ma'asecha Hashem are mentioned. In the first verse, we had pa'alecha and ma'ase yodecha. Now we have ma'asecha, right? But not only are they great, they're also deep, right? Ma'gadu ma'asecha, ma'od amku machshivosecha. So how high, the great heights, perhaps, in Gadlu, and Amku, the great depths of your wisdom, of your thoughts. The full spectrum of the accomplishments and the doings of God are so masterful and so amazing, so wide-ranging, that a person simply has to be moda. A person simply has to be able to and willing to accept the greatness of God. Right, so this sort of explains the first half. Why are we singing to Hashem? Why are we being moda? Why are we doing all those things in verses 2, 3, and 4? Because of what we have in verses 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7 talk about all the amazing accomplishments and the great doings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps that relates to why it's said on Shabbos. Maybe we'll get to there back at the end. It's a great awareness and a fullness in our awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ends on the last verse of Ishbar lo yeda, uchsil lo yavinas zos. Right? A boor cannot know, nor can a fool understand this. They simply cannot know. They cannot know the full depths. It's not simply just a statement about the wicked. Not exactly. It's even a person who is aware is not fully aware. So even I, says the author, who is aware to some degree of the greatness of God, but I don't plumb the depths, I cannot grasp the full depth of what you're talking about. Even I can simply offer a praise. Even I, right, can offer some thanksgiving that exists. So here's the great wonder and the great awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Verse 8 will stand alone to some degree because it'll talk about the negative side, the wicked. With a very interesting terminology, b'froch rusha'im kimo esev, v'yatzitzu kol poloi aven li'shamdam adayad. When the rusha'im grow like the grasses, when they sprout all those who are evildoers, po'alei aven, those who are workers of evil, right, po'alei aven, do deeds of aven, of iniquity, of avera, of sinning, and they sprout, li shamdam adayad, right, they will be destroyed for all eternity. It's a very interesting sort of image. You have people who act poorly who are described like grass. Now, we know that grass grows in great multitudes, and there's a lot of grass, but in other locations in Nach, people are always compared to grass, and it's in the negative. Grass grows, but it only grows to a certain height. It grows sort of all over the place, aimlessly. It doesn't necessarily have an obvious purpose to us. It only grows when the rains come, but wilts and dies in the heat. And that's what wicked people are like. They are there when opportunity knocks. They're very opportunistic in a negative sense. That opportunistic approach, purely for personal gain, is to their own detriment, to their own destruction. They sprout, but they are destroyed. It's bad. How high does grass grow? I don't want to be like grass. I want to be like trees. I want to be really, really high. And we'll see later on, trees are used as another image. The parallel, right? The parallel that we mentioned. The notion of trees versus the notion of grass. So here, the destruction of the wicked, vis-a-vis what we talked about in the previous section about the awareness of God and the praising and the singing of God. Now we get to the fulcrum, the center point in our text, the point where it shifts into the second half, which will begin with verse 10, with Yud, we have 9. And it starts, V'atama Rome L'olam Hashem. You, Hashem, are exalted, you are most high forever. The Vav here is not a continuum Vav, but rather you, it's in contradistinction to what was previously stated. But you, God, you're not like the wicked. You're not like grass. You're not the downtrodden. You're not on the bottom, right? You are continual. You are forever. You are most high. Marom is the sense of very high, right? That you are above everything. You are eternal. You are great. So what you've had now is you've had singing to Hashem, awareness of Hashem, the unfortunate destruction of the wicked by virtue of their inability to recognize Hashem, Hashem in distinction to the negative, and now we get to the second half, 10 through 16, which is the explanation, really the second half of the chapter. We're going to talk about the righteous, and we're going to talk about the protection of the righteous and the longevity and the success of the righteous and God's justice. Here we go. So we have 10 through 12, which would be Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. We're going to make a smaller break. Kinei oivecha Hashem, kinei oivecha yovedu, yispardu ko pole aven. A three-part text, very similar to verse 9, right, in terms of it breaking up into three sections. Right, verse 10 tells us, because your enemies, God, your enemies will be lost. They will perish. They will be dispersed and scattered like all the evildoers. Here you have poali aven and poali aven like we saw before. They have no shot, right? They will be destroyed. But not only destroyed vis-a-vis what you, God, are for yourself, but vis-a-vis me as one of the righteous, including himself. Vatareim kireim karni. When I raise up the horn of the wild ox, right? The horn of the wild ox, Vatareim kireim karni, is raising up of a horn. The raising up of a horn is symbolic of victory. When I raise up a tareim, when I show the horn of victory, the horn of the ox, that'll be my sign of victory. That'll be the sign that I have been victorious over them. Bilosi b'shemen ranan. Right? When I am then also given to shemen ranan, literally means happy oil, but also means really ever fresh oil. Balosi is a very difficult word. Rabbi Yechalom, quoting from another text, relates it back to Sarah Imenu, that when Sarah Imenu is of an advanced age, so she laughs. Batitzchak Sarah Bikirbali Mor Achare Bilosi Haisali Ednava Adonizakein. She laughs to herself and says, after I'm old, shall I have pleasure? The word Bilosi is a notion of old. After I'm old, I'm going to have pleasure. So here, below Siva Shemin Ranan. Yeah, when I, in my old age, after my longevity, my success, right, and what having, I will have pleasure. I will get Shemin Ranan. I will have fresh oil. I will have the youthfulness. I will have a sense of youth, of being young in my life, in the virtues of my victory over the wicked. Right? And then, V'tabet eni b'shurai, Bekamim alay mirayim tishmona aznai. When my eyes will see my foes, right? Vatabet eni b'shurai, right? When my eyes will see my victory, the word shurai is shurai, the word of sense of victory. When I see the victory, bekamim alay mirayim. People who are rising up against me to do bad to me, tishmona aznai, my ears will hear. So the vision of my eyes and my ears hearing, my eyes will see and my ears will hear. I am separated from them. I am distinct from them. I am removed from them, but I will know about their destruction. Right, a very beautiful image as well. I am raised above them. Right, when I look down upon them, betabet inibishurai, when I'm able to see them out. Right, so in the sense that I am in a way marom, I am in a way raised up, but also at a distance. So here now we have seen protection of the righteous, right? I will be victorious. I will raise up the horn. I will see and I will hear about the destruction of those who will try to destroy me. We mentioned in verse 8 before. And now we get to a very, very famous set of verses. Tzadik katamar yifrach, ki eriz balvanun yizkeh, shishulim beveis ha-adonai, b'chatzos Eloheinu yafrichu, o yinuvun b'seva d'sheinim v'ranim yihiyu. Very famous set of verses, sung beautifully on Friday nights in shuls around the world, right? Tzadik katamar yifrach, the righteous man will flourish like a date palm, like a cedar in the like a cedar in the Livanon. He will grow tall. Yisgad will grow tall. Shesulim beveis Adonai, we planted in the house of Hashem. B'chatzos Eloheinu yafrichu, in the courtyards of Hashem they will flourish. Oh, dinavun b'seva, they will still be fruitful in their old age. D'sheinim v'ranim yihyu, vigorous and fresh will they be, even at that point. It's this beautiful image where we paralleled off before with grass. Here we have trees. But not just trees. The difference between grass and trees, besides in terms of height, is longevity, right? So before we talked about the immediate destruction or the wilting and molting of grass, and the aimless nature of grass, trees last for many, many centuries. They have the redwoods out west that are hundreds of years old. You see trees that are around for centuries. Humongous, enormous trees. And that's sort of what we're talking about. Tzadik katamar yifrach. It'll be like the date palm in the desert. Ki eriz balvanon yizkeh. Like the cedar in the north, it'll grow tall. Flourishing, growing taller, powerful, successful. Shesulim beveis Hashem, bechatzos elukeinu yafrichu. They'll be like sprouts. They will grow roots in the house of God. And they will flourish in the courtyards of Hashem. Right? The interesting change between Hashem and Elokeinu, not for now, but the notion of being planted and rooted in the house of Shem is not simply for now, but it's simply for a very long period of time. The continued longevity of the person who is a believer in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, Jinuvun Beseva, Deshenim Varanim Hiyu. Right? All the more they will have in their vigor and their fruit and their in their old age. Their fatness, literally, and their youngness, right? That Shemen Ra'anan, and now Ra'ananim again, the sense of the oils, the sense of it being of youth in old age, of youthfulness, of freshness, of spryness, even in a person living in a long life. So the sense here, what you have in the chapter, is this notion of an enormous grasp of God, right? And it ends with, Lahagid ki yashar Hashem, Tsuri v'lov lasapo. That Hashem, and we should relate and we should declare that Hashem is right, that Hashem is yoshar, Hashem is straight. Tsuri v'lov lasapo. He is my rack in whom there is no wrong. There's no bad. Right here we have now a shift from chesed and emunah to yashrus. It's a simple sort of a flow. What we had is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why we're singing His praises. What happens to the wicked who don't offer and don't grasp and don't do those things? And then here now in the end, after talking about the longevity and the success and the reward and a certain, you know, the consequence or the result of having been righteous and being kind and being good, we have the notion of a declaration of the justice of God. That is the declaration of the justice of God by virtue of seeing it in that way. And maybe then, as an understanding of the beginning of the text, of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, the different commentaries offer all kinds of explanations on the text as to why this is dafka said on Shabbos. Perhaps it talks about Schar and Onesh. Maybe that's an approach. Perhaps there's a different approach that's more related to the Ibn Ezra writes that it's the time when we have a chance to really contemplate the wonder of the world and how the world works and understanding God's way in the world. The Radak writes that it's Tov Lahodos Lashem. When do you have a chance to praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu? When do you have a chance to really contemplate what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing and really praise God for all that it is when you are at peace or when you are in concert with yourself, both body, mind, and soul. When does that happen? So that happens on Shabbos. But at the same time, perhaps it's talking to us, that it's talking towards the future, that in the days will come, where the Olam HaEmes, Me'ein Olam Haba, the idea of the future, when the righteous will be praised and they will stand forward and be known, and those who are wicked will be wilting away and disappearing like the grass. Thus concludes Perek Tzadi Beis, chapter 92.